Today on Real Radio.
Our thoughts, our direction, our very movement as so-called Christians should be governed by this book. We are not to be doing something and then try to get the book to back up what we're doing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. In fact, we've been hearing a series within a series called Living in the Days of Deception. Now, that's days spelled D-A-Z-E. It's an examination of the opening verses of 1 John chapter 4. Here's where the apostle warns the believer, do not be deceived. And as we're learning, these words apply to you and me just as much as they did in the day when the apostle actually spoke them and wrote them. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing his series taken from this section of 1 John chapter 4. It's called Living in the Days of Deception.
Well, we are living in the days of deception, according to the title of what we're going through. And tonight in 1 John chapters 4, verses 1 through 6, we're going to be looking at tonight what we've entitled The Deception of Easy Believism. The deception of easy believism in this series, Living in the Days of Deception. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, though we'll focus tonight on verse 3, we'll read all the way through. John says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We've been going through a very intense study, as you have been able to come on these Wednesday nights. It has generated a lot of activity. People actually have been dumbfounded to find out that somebody that entertained them greatly on television and that they toyed with on so-called Christian television or radio, in fact, held doctrines that are opposing to Christianity, and in fact, much more similar to Mormonism or the New Age movement that is permeating the world around us. And we've had an interesting response from people. Some people said to us, I don't care what you say, I like this particular guy that I watch on TV, and I'm going to keep watching him. And that to me is absolutely amazing, that someone can hold a man in such an incredible position that their love or adoration or idolatry of this man is so great and so grandioso that whoever they are, they take a preeminent seat in regards to the Bible, which is to be the ultimate plumb line for our lives. Our thoughts, our direction, our very movement as so-called Christians should be governed by this book. We are not to be doing something and then try to get the book to back up what we're doing. Now, I know we sang a song tonight, and I was conscious because I'm sensitive to the study that it says, Lord, you're always on my side. You know, that's not good theology. True theology is, I need to always be on his side. He's not on my side all the time. If I'm adhering to doctrine that is aberrant or ignorant to what God has revealed, God is not going to be on my side. He may love me, but he'll correct me, because what he is desirous for me to do is to walk in the light as he is in the light and to enjoy his fellowship. And that fellowship is in the truth of the Word of God. And so tonight, in our series, Living in the Days of Deception, we approach this topic this evening of the deception of easy believism and what it means. We'll look at the definition tonight. But we're drawing upon verse 3 of our study. Look at it with me again. It says, And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. There's a couple of things we'll look at here in a moment, but I would ask you to circle the word spirit. This is, as you notice, not the capital S of the Holy Spirit. This is a spirit that is much lesser. This certainly can speak of the human spirit. Our bodies are slaves to sin. Our soul is our lost man. And our spirit is dead until we come to Jesus Christ. When we are born again, the spirit life is placed uppermost. The soul retains its centerpiece, and the flesh takes the lesser seat. What you saw in the Garden of Eden prior to the fall was proper. After the fall, there was a switch where Adam and Eve lived spirit uppermost, soul subject to the spirit, the body subject to both. After they fell, there was a reversal. It was like the merry-go-round or the Ferris wheel flipped, and the fleshly passions began to take control. The soul still in the middle, not any longer being led by the spirit, but now being prompted and tempted and coerced by the demands of the flesh, and the spirit now dead, so to speak, in a way, coma. God said, in the day that you eat of the fruit, thou shalt surely die. And the moment that Adam and Eve consumed of that fruit, they experienced a spiritual death. Of course, they lived some 900 years physically on in their bodies. So we know that the scripture is referring to their spiritual death. But we need to be born from above, as we've been learning on Sundays, born again. But there's an enemy to this truth. There's an enemy to the work of God. And like the book, in fact, I encourage you to get that book as well. It's called Predators in the Pulpit. That book is a very, very frightening book because it talks about the deception that takes place from the pulpit with ministry leaders in small fellowship groups and under the roof of the church is where deception of its most cynical sort takes place because people come to a church assuming that they're going to be fed and given the truth, and people, quite frankly, are often lazy in reading the Bible for themselves, and so they look to the ministry, the leaders, to feed them, to hand-feed them. And yet, our public gatherings together should only be an accent to our daily consumption of the Bible. By way of introduction, we need to realize that John, obviously, in this epistle, is speaking some 2,000 or nearly 2,000 years ago, and John was warning the early church even back then. Even in the midst of them growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that right alongside their awesome spiritual growth, by the way, are you growing? Are you growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ? John is announcing to the church in this insightful epistle of his, he's saying, even though we're growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, right alongside our growth, in fact, wherever there's true Christian growth, you can bank on the enemy parallel alongside such healthy growth to sow in the seeds and the dangers that associate itself with imposters of the gospel. Wherever the truth is, you can expect the lie. Wherever God is working, you better expect opposition. Have you ever signed up for ministry? Have you ever said, yeah, I'll do whatever. Yeah, I'm going to go for it. Or I'll sit in for that. Or how about signing up for the various prayer ministries and the missions prayer groups that we have? You ever signed up for that? Sign up, and if you're ever doubting if you're doing the right thing, sign up and determine, I'm going to pray for the missions. Watch what happens. You're going to get a flat tire. Your stove will blow up. I don't know. You name it. I can see the prayer warriors now going, oh, Jack, thanks for the encouragement to have them sign up. No, you know, I don't know about you, but I would rather go out and give a little hell back on the enemy's head. I'd like to give them a rough time. Wouldn't you love to know, I think as it was with Paul and Jesus, that when demons motor about in the spirit, that they cringe and shudder at the thought that you might be praying? Remember when the seven sons of Sceva, they were thinking that they could really have a great time by exercising demonic spirits out of people. Because they saw Paul do it. And they saw the other disciples and apostles do it. And they're thinking, well, we're going to do this. This is cool. So they go to do this thing. And this demon or demons that are dwelling inside this man, this guy comes up and he says, okay, hocus pocus, Alamazoo, you know. And they're doing some kind of, they don't even know what they're doing. And so they look to this man who's demon possessed and they say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul and, you know, they preach, come out of him. And the demon says, hey, wait a minute. Jesus we know and Paul we know. But who are you? And it says there that the demonic spirits leapt out of the man and came upon them, tore them up, and they ran naked from that place. Now that is a great, great scene. I'd love to see that in some kind of a movie. That's hilarious. Ministry don'ts, you know. Roll the film. But I find it interesting what those demons did know. Jesus we know, and Paul we know. Wouldn't it be great if the demons drove by this church in a little demonic car and they shuddered at the thought, my gosh, there's that church, they're praying again. Speed up, get out of here. Wouldn't it be great if they would be absolutely panicked to drive down your street because you might be praying, because you might be reading your Bible? A.W. Tozer wrote a fantastic book. He says it took him 27 years to write the book. I'm going to guess and say it's 65, 70 pages. Strange title. It's called I Talk Back to the Devil by A.W. Tozer. The amazing thing is, it took me years to find the book. It's been out of print for years. It's very hard to find. As soon as you read it, you'll find out why it's hard to find. A.W. Tozer unmasked the trickery of Satan in this book. And thus, he says, it took him 27 years to write the book. Satan doesn't want his tactics exposed. One of his greatest tactics is for him to get, quote, ministers in the pulpit, even the ones, as he says, that shine forth as angels of light. He says, don't be concerned, tricked, marveled at such antics of Satan. Paul warns us that it's just his way to take his ministers and transform them into angels of light. Deception. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 24, you can jot it down or follow along with me. Matthew 13, 24, I'm going to give you three parables that have to deal with your life and mine right now, this evening, this church, and every work of God. Matthew 13, 24 says, and a parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares, false seeds, fake. Sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow until the harvest. And at the end, bind them in, or say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable he spoke. He put forth this to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it grows, it is greater than the herbs and comes or becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. No, they don't. This is weird. This is strange. He's talking about strange growth. This is abnormal for a mustard seed to do. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. Leaven is a type of, or in typology, is sin. In 3 of these parables, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, the work of God in the earth, the church. And Jesus warns us. He says there's going to be, as it were, birds lodging in its branches. Birds are always evil in Scripture. When it's not evil, he mentions the birds. Example, when it's not evil, he says, Don't you all know that a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without your father knowing about it? That's a good context. Whenever he turns and says, but the birds come and pluck out or take the seed away and leave, when it's generic, it's bad. Or the birds of the air come and eat the flesh of those that have been slain. It's bad. He's warning about deception in the church. When he talks about the tares, by the way, it's interesting regarding tares. Wheat, it looks just like wheat, grows up right alongside. But did you know that if you were to harvest them together and if you were to process them together, did you know that there's a type of toxin in the tare that not only is very sickening, but it can absolutely destroy the harvest? That's why in the parable, Jesus, knowing this, says, let's make sure that we separate the good from the bad at harvest time. Why? He's implying so that the bad is not processed with the good. We want to keep the good good and remove the bad, but don't do it until the very end because there's a harvest, there's a judgment coming. And Jesus is saying, we'll wait, we'll let it go because the end and the judgment will be thorough enough. As we look at these things, there's three things that we're going to consider this evening. I'm going to ask you to jot those down. And I say three things, just these three things up front, and we'll see how far we get. Regarding living in the days of deception, the first thing that we want to consider is this as we look to the scripture. First of all, these spirits, they confessed falsehood about Jesus Christ, and spirits will do that. And I'm not talking about some demonic spirit that walks by you. We're even talking about people who are promoting and propagating false doctrine. Note it, the spirits of who they are and what they confess will be falsehoods about Jesus Christ. And one of the things that they're going to do is they're going to be bent on the denial of his bodily existence. And this was a very, very key thing during John's time. The Gnostics absolutely were serious crusaders about this very thing. That's why he says in verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And listen, it's not just to confess, it's to, as the word truly means, ek homo legeo, it is to absolutely agree with God why Jesus came. You know, many cults and Satanists say Jesus came in the flesh, but it means here to hold to what is taught in the scripture. He came in the flesh because he's God. He came in the flesh being God. He came in the flesh to die for the sins of the world. The second thing that we notice is that regarding those that are of a deceiving spirit is that they'll attack his preeminence. Remember, we listened to a couple of them several weeks ago, how they destroyed or attempted to destroy the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting that you sat here and listened to him say such a thing, and then they turned around in the next clip and began to exalt themselves as gods? Everybody, as I said, gets to be gods but Jesus Christ, huh? They will attack his preeminence. He's the one and only. Thirdly, an ever-increasing presence these people will have in the church. That's encouraging. But it's true. Thank God the Bible warns us in advance. Amen? I'm glad about it. So in our note-taking tonight, let's just go with the first point this evening. The deception of easy believism is this. Number one, what is it? What is easy believism anyway? Well, let's look at it. You might want to write this down fast or get the tape later. Easy believism. Easy believism is the preaching and the teaching of a lesser gospel, which is rooted in conscious or unconscious neglect of the full counsel of God. It is an attempt to alter, change, replace, or recreate an alternative gospel message from that which has already been revealed in the biblical account. What is easy believism? It is to create or present a gospel message that is somewhat altered or different than what the true biblical message is. This is what's sad about our day and age in which you and I live in. Many people don't even know what the true gospel message is. There are Christians who don't even know how to give the gospel. They're not even quite sure what it is they believe in. My question is, can you be a Christian and not be sure what you believe in? That's debated in schools. But listen, it's very, very dangerous to preach something that is altered or lesser than the gospel that is given in Scripture. So our first thing that we look at tonight is this. What is easy believism? It's a modernization of the gospel. Let me explain that. It's a modernization of the gospel. Listen, your gospel, this book, though it's thousands and thousands of years old, it's not out of date. It is always current. You don't have to think of the Bible as being, you know, some old book, you know. Are you kidding? This thing lives and breathes, man. This thing knows what tomorrow holds. But when we modernize the gospel, what do we mean by modernize? When we take its true meaning and begin to water it down based upon our current conventional wisdom, what the political tide might say, or what is emotionally correct. Have you noticed our nation? We're not even into what conventional wisdom is anymore. We want what's emotionally correct. It's stupid, some of the things that are going on. I saw a thing where a guy started his lawnmower. He wanted to trim his hedge. He started a lawnmower. He picked up the lawnmower, and he was walking with the lawnmower trimming his hedge. Instead of going and renting a trimmer, he starts his lawnmower, picks it up, falls in a gopher hole, and the lawnmower fell on him and cut his fingers off. Now, in all honesty, somebody should have ran out of their house and then slapped him. He turned around and he sued Sears, Craftsman, for not having a label on the lawnmower saying for lawn use to be kept on the ground only, and the guy won. This is emotional, weird perversion of truth and of normal logic. Insane. A modernization, when you apply such thing to the gospel, then it's up for grabs. A modernization of the gospel, what do we mean by that? We mean this. The preaching of a social gospel, a social message. And listen, this is flooding the church.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the first six verses of 1 John chapter 4, where the Apostle John issues a very strongly worded warning to true believers about not being deceived. It's a multi-part series called Living in the Days of Deception. Living in the Days, D-A-Z-E, of Deception. It's a series that's part of Pastor Jack's overall verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget that we're offering Pastor Jack's series called Ruth and Boaz, Falling in Love God's Way. Ruth and Boaz, Falling in Love God's Way, is a 2-CD series available to all Real Radio listeners. Now, the account of Ruth and Boaz truly is one of the most famous and touching love stories of all time. It's really quite a contrast from today's lax attitudes, if you will, that often result in relationships that, well, quite frankly, just don't last. Now, here's our offer. We'll send you Pastor Jack's 2-CD set called Ruth and Boaz, Falling in Love God's Way, for your gift of any amount to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio. We don't want anyone to go without getting this. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and submit your gift right there online, realradioactive.org, or call us. Our phone number is 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. RR Radio. Now, if you'd like, you can write to us and send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Ask for it by name, Ruth and Boaz, Falling in Love God's Way, Pastor Jack's series on 2 audio CDs. Also, a quick reminder to join us tonight on his channel for our live Wednesday night study. You're going to like it. That airs live on hischannel.com starting 7:30 Pacific time, hischannel.com. Come and see us. And remember, all of our contact info as well as links and resources can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.